Welcome to the Texas Sports Hall of Fame podcast, presented by the Hampton in Waco. This episode, celebrating the 50th anniversary of the 1974 Baylor Bears football team, featuring Baylor head coach Grant Taft. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Texas Sports Hall of Fame podcast. I am author and oral historian Jackson Michael. I've been honored to host and produce the Texas Sports Hall of Fame podcast for the past few years. This will be one of my final episodes, as there will be a new host and producer taking over. This episode is one that I'm very grateful to bring, a celebration of the 1974 Baylor Bears football team, the first Baylor team ever to make it to the Cotton Bowl. That Bears team won Baylor's first Southwest Conference title in 50 years and beat Texas for the first time in 18 years. The win over Texas was an incredible comeback. Baylor trailed 24-7 at halftime and came back to win 34-24. You often hear that win referred to as the miracle on the Brazos. Joining me on this episode is legendary Baylor head football coach Grant Taft. He was the Southwest Conference Coach of the Year in 1974 and was elected into the Texas Sports Hall of Fame in 1995. Also with me is John McClain. McClain was working for the Waco Tribune Herald in 1974. He joined the Houston Chronicle a couple of years later and had a legendary sports writing career that landed him in the media wing of the Texas Sports Hall of Fame in 2022. On top of those two fantastic guests, there will be some lost interview footage of that season, which I've converted from cassette to MP3. That footage comes from a program made after that season called 1974, the Baylor Bears Golden Year, which was produced by Gordon McKee. That will feature quotes from that season from head coach Grant Taft, as well as some of the Baylor players. Texas was the king of the Southwest Conference. Going into 1974, the Longhorns had won six straight Southwest Conference titles under head coach Darryl Royal, not to mention back-to-back national championships in 1969 and 1970. In the 1974 issue of Dave Campbell's Texas Football, Baylor was listed as seventh in the eight-team Southwest Conference. John McClain, who grew up in Waco and was a Baylor fan even while he was still in Cub Scouts, gives us a summary of the Baylor football program in the years leading up to 1974.
In 69 or 70 there, Bill, LSU's defensive coordinator, who's one of the worst coaches I've ever seen. You could have gone to Baylor Stadium, we would pay 50 cents, sit in the end zone, and crawl over and sit anywhere we wanted. You could sit on the 50. You could have your own section. And there was talk about Baylor was going to shut down the football program because it was so pathetic. It was losing money, and Bill was terrible. And when they fired Bill, nobody wanted a job at 72. And they, just to show you how desperate Baylor was, they made a big deal out of New Mexico coach Rudy Feldman agreeing to come to Waco. Think about that today, New Mexico. Well, he backed out at the last minute. And then the Houston Post had a huge scoop. Bears hire Majors, Johnny Majors from Tennessee. Of course, that wasn't true either. So they got down to their 10th choice, Grant Taft.
Grant Taft took over the Baylor football program in 1972. Previously, Coach Taft was the head coach at Angelo State, in addition to coaching at McMurray and as an assistant at Texas Tech. McClain discussed Grant Taft's early seasons at Baylor.
And then his first year in 72, they went 5-6, and they were so bad before that, he was voted coach of the year. And then in the next year in 73, we were all fired up, and they went 2-9. So people were starting to doubt to have 2 years losing record. The next season he had, his third season schedule was really, really tough. And so we thought they're going to have another really bad season, and they had the biggest dream season they ever had, plus one of the best victories they ever had. So it's memorable that I don't know what Baylor has to do, because Baylor's had a lot of big victories, like beating Ole Miss in the Sugar Bowl and having the most victories in team history with Dave Aranda. Our Browns had some big victories. But this 74 season, to anybody, is magical. And I guess, I don't know if they have to win the national championship or get to the playoff or what, but it's going to be really hard for Baylor to have a season like 1974.
Baylor finished 2-9 in 1973. The Bears went winless in the Southwest Conference. Going into 1974, Baylor hadn't beaten Texas in nearly 20 years, had lost 5 straight to Texas Tech and 8 straight to SMU. When head coach Grant Taft previewed Baylor's 1974 season, the goals focused on mainly improving over a 2-9 season. There was no mention of winning the conference.
But our goal this year is to have a balanced offense and a balanced defense, and to have an improved kicking game, to play soundly in all areas, not give up the darn football as many times as we did last year. That could have moved us from a 2-9 to a 7-4 or 5 record very easily, because we played some very close games. So we're going to try to build confidence defensively, and we're going to eliminate mistakes offensively, and in doing those two things, we're going to have more in 74.
Baylor opened the 1974 season on the road against Barry Switzer's Oklahoma Sooners. Oklahoma came into the game ranked number one in the country and hadn't lost since October of 1972. Oddsmakers made the Sooners 43-point favorites. Offensively, Oklahoma was led by future Texas Sports Hall of Famer Joe Washington. The Sooner defensive line was anchored by future Pro Football Hall of Famer Leroy Salmon, against a Baylor offensive line that featured only one senior and 4 sophomores. In what seemed like an awful matchup for Baylor, instead illustrated the heart and courage of the 1974 Bears. Baylor stood its ground against a team that ended up winning back-to-back national championships in 1974 and 1975. Oklahoma held only a 5-point lead at halftime, and by the end of the third quarter, the Bears had closed the gap to a mere 2 points before the Sooners pulled away in the fourth quarter. The Bears eventually stumbled out of the gate 0-2 for the season after a 7-point loss at Missouri.
It started 0-2 because they played Oklahoma, and I think Oklahoma was the best team in the country. Then they all go to Missouri, and they lose to Missouri, so they're 0-2. So that means they're 2-11 in their last 13 games. So we figure, okay, it's going to be another miserable season.
The loss to Missouri marked 9 consecutive defeats for the Bears. Next on the slate was a home game against the 12th-ranked Oklahoma State Cowboys. Baylor running back Steve Beard scored 3 touchdowns against the Cowboys, one on an 84-yard screen pass, as the Bears notched their first victory of the 1974 season. The 31-14 win over Oklahoma State, who later won the Fiesta Bowl that season, was a great win for Baylor.
People were excited, but then they were going to Florida State. Well, there was no way they were going to win at Florida State. And Burt Reynolds, who was at the epitome of his popularity as an actor, the most famous in the country, and he is a Florida State alum who played football, he comes in and gives them a pregame speech to get the Seminoles fired up, and Baylor beats them 21-17. Well, people in Waco were celebrating and rejoicing because he stuck it where the sun didn't shine in Florida, and kind of like you beat the Seminoles and you beat Burt Reynolds. So at that point, everybody started to get really fired up because they won their first road game and they were 2-2.
The win over the Seminoles was a tremendous come-from-behind victory. Baylor trailed 17-0 at halftime and came back to win. Comeback wins turned out to be something that later helped define the 1974 Baylor Bears. After the Florida State game, Baylor head coach Grant Taff also noted that his young offensive line had found its footing.
We're beginning to get our young offensive line some stability. We've got good size now, and they are learning each week what they can do and what they're capable of doing. To be very frank with you, in the second half of the Florida State game, they came out and blew folks off that line.
Recently, I asked Coach Taff about the offensive line's development over the course of that 1974 season and what it was like to witness the improvements.
You know, it was like watching a rose bloom, where they started out and how they ended up as players and as leaders and as young men. As a coach, the general public doesn't realize this part of it, but that's one of the great aspects of coaching and teaching, is see the growth in your students, not only physically but intellectually as well. That's why I believe became so prominent, is that the players had accepted the important aspect of really believing that you can get something done and then go out and do it. That's the simple process. Sometimes when you play football games and you play against opponents that are either historically superior or particularly that year superior, that's where, you know, you see teams and individuals rise to the occasion.
The 2-2 Bears next headed to Arkansas for their Southwest Conference opener. The Razorbacks were ranked 14th in the nation. Baylor hadn't beaten Arkansas since 1966, and the Bears jumped out to a 14-0 lead in the first half. Arkansas battled back, however, and the Razorbacks took a 17-14 lead in the fourth quarter. After Arkansas stopped Baylor on a fourth down play, the game seemed all but over. A Razorback fumble provided a second chance, however, and the Bears took advantage. Steve Beard scored a touchdown with just over 1 minute to go, and the Bears won 21-17.
Well, then people started to get really excited because they'd won three in a row. They were 3-2.
Baylor hadn't won three games in a row since 1964. And more importantly, they were 1-0 in the Southwest Conference. After five games, this Baylor squad, featuring senior quarterback Neil Jeffrey, defeated two ranked teams and played the top-ranked Oklahoma Sooners evenly on the road for three quarters. There was something different about this 1974 Baylor Bears football team, and it was something special. When we return, we'll hear more stories from Baylor head coach Grant Taff about the 1974 Bears, Baylor's first Southwest Conference championship in 50 years, and the school's first ever trip to the Cotton Bowl. On the 50th anniversary of that 1974 Baylor Bears season, on the Texas Sports Hall of Fame podcast, presented by the Hampton Inn, Waco.
This is Cliff Harris, free safety for the Dallas Cowboys. You're listening to the Texas Sports Hall of Fame podcast. Enjoy it.
When you come to Waco, be sure to stay at the Hampton Inn, Waco, located just a short distance from the Texas Sports Hall of Fame. You'll start your day off with a delicious complimentary breakfast, and you'll enjoy the Hampton Inn Waco's free Wi-Fi, fitness center, and pool. Next time you bring your team to Waco, make the Hampton Inn Waco your home court on the road. Welcome back to the Texas Sports Hall of Fame podcast, celebrating the 50th anniversary of the 1974 Baylor Bears Southwest Conference Championship football team, presented by the Hampton Inn Waco. In 1924, the Baylor Bears went 4-0-1 in Southwest Conference play and won the conference title for the second time in 3 years. 50 years later, Baylor had yet to win another Southwest Conference title. The late 1960s and early 1970s were particularly bleak for the Bears. Baylor went winless in Southwest Conference play in 1967, 1969, 1971, and 1973. Between 1965 and 1973, Baylor never won more than 3 conference games in a single season. So when the 1974 Bears opened the Southwest Conference schedule with a win on the road over a ranked Arkansas team, it was a big deal. The Bears' 3-2 overall record was the first time that they were over 500 after 5 games since 1966. Baylor's Week 6 opponent was at home against 8th-ranked Texas A&M, drawing a record crowd of over 51,000 for homecoming.
They played their worst game of the season. They hosted A&M. A&M was ranked top 10, and they didn't even score. So they were 3-3, but still, that was great compared to before. 2-9, they'd already surpassed the victories.
Baylor lost 20-0, and Texas A&M took control of first place in the Southwest Conference. Baylor's next opponent was a struggling TCU team on the road. Although many up-and-coming teams fold their tents after a disappointing loss like Baylor had just experienced, Coach Taft spoke of the Bears' pride and resilience with this quote leading up to the game against the Horned Frogs.
Now we're playing a team that's won only one ball game, and that not very impressively against a small college, and it's a difficult thing to try to get yourself geared, but I feel this way about it. We're kind of upset right now. We're a little bit mad, and I tell you, I think we'll be ready to play. I know our players would like to tee it up right now.
The fired-up Bears defeated TCU and now held a 2-1 record in conference play. Next up on the agenda was the Texas Longhorns, a team that Baylor hadn't beaten in their last 18 tries. Longhorn coach Darryl Royal had never lost to Baylor since becoming head coach at the University of Texas in 1957. The Longhorns were 14-point favorites going into the November 9th game. The Waco Tribune Herald reported that Baylor needed to win all of its remaining games, and Texas A&M had to lose 2 of its last 3 games for Baylor to have any chance at the Cotton Bowl. Against Texas, things couldn't have started off any better for Baylor. On the 4th play of the game, quarterback Neil Jeffery threw a 69-yard touchdown pass to receiver Alcee Jackson. Baylor led 7-0. After that, however, the Longhorns took control on a gray and drizzly afternoon. Texas scored 24 unanswered points and led 24-7 at halftime. Darryl Royal's Longhorns flexed their muscles and showed why they had won 6 straight Southwest Conference titles. Coach Taft recalled what quarterback Neil Jeffery said to his teammates in the Baylor locker room at halftime.
We're down, I think it's 24-7, and we're in the dressing room, and old Neil Jeffery stood up and said, "Guys, we got them right where we want."
John McClain was covering the game and turned to the legendary Dave Campbell in the press box during the intermission.
I was doing a dressing room story on the Longhorns, and a guy was still one of my closest friends, Lester Zed, was doing a Baylor dressing room, and then Dave Campbell's writing the lead. And at that time, Lester and I went to the back of the press box and looked down at all the fans leaving. And we went back and we sat down, and I said, "Mr. Campbell, the worst thing about being a sports writer," he said, "What's that, young man?" I said, "You can't leave the game when you know your team's defeated." And he said, "Well," he said, "let me tell you something. I've seen funnier things that happen." And I'm like rolling my eyes at Lester Ryan Campbell's back and like he's nuts and everything. And I'm like, "Yeah, I'd like to see it."
Baylor came out of the dressing room down 24-7 at home to a team they hadn't beaten since 1956. And then Baylor got a break on special teams in the third quarter. The Bears blocked a punt and recovered the ball on the Texas 17-yard line. Neil Jeffrey scored on a one-yard touchdown, and the score was 24-14. Coach Taft spoke about the blocked punt.
It was really the turning point in the game, but the true turning point was the fact that we had played them head-on, toe-to-toe, so to speak, but just hadn't been able to push it across. And that changed everything. The block punt gave us field advantage.
Before the third quarter expired, Jeffrey threw a 54-yard touchdown pass to Ricky Thompson. The Bears had pulled within 3 points by the start of the fourth quarter. John McClain said that Jeffrey's senior season was better measured by important throws like the one to Thompson rather than statistics.
Neil Jeffrey, the quarterback, Neil made a lot of clutch plays, but that season he didn't have many touchdown passes and he had more interceptions. But the passes he completed in clutch situation, which, as you mentioned, helped them make comebacks.
Texas led 24-21 going into the fourth quarter. The Bears rose to the occasion and outscored the Longhorns 13-0 in the final period to win 34-24. It was the first time Baylor had defeated Texas since 1956. The win marked only the 12th time in history that Baylor had beaten Texas in a series that dated back to 1901. Coach Taft recalled a few things that stood out as key pieces of the incredible Baylor comeback.
One of the things that helped us in that game, and I can't remember who did it, but we had 3 interceptions in that game. And in a game, a football game, you know, there are certain things, and I guess the world calls them breaks, that teams either get or do not get. And we had not had any breaks in that first half, so to speak. And we had played pretty well. And our players knew that they could take care of their jobs against the individuals they were playing against at the University of Texas. So it all boiled down to mano-mano in the sense that it wasn't just Baylor playing Texas. It was individuals playing individuals. And there were some extraordinary performances that don't normally get noticed by the general public. Coaches certainly watch it and see it and understand the value of it, and that is the line play, both offensively and defensively. You can't beat a team of Texas caliber without great line play.
John McClain and Coach Taft each discussed their memories of what happened after the game and the impact Baylor's win had for its fans, the city of Waco, and the Southwest Conference.
So I watched Daryl Royal walk out. He goes into the Baylor locker room, and I followed him. And he asked Taft if he could talk to his team. Taft said, "Sure." So as you can imagine, people are still, players are celebrating. Rachel Alarm's in there. It's so crowded. And Broyles gets up in front of the team. And, of course, everybody's like, my God, what's he doing in here? And so Darryl gives a speech that just blew everybody away, and about Baylor and Baylor, what they'd accomplished and what they could accomplish. You know, you're good enough to win the Southwest Conference for the first time in 50 years. You just beat us.
It was collectively such an important thing for the Baylor people, because truthfully, Baylor football program to the University of Texas had been rather downtrodden for a few years, and it just gave the Baylor people, the Baylor students, the city of Waco even, that were not Texas fans, it gave them a great deal of pleasure and pride. And there was a word floating around on our team for several years, and it was the word pride. And that made a lot of difference in that particular game. You know, the media, everybody said that Baylor couldn't win. And the pride that our coaches and our players had, I think, really contributed to our ability to go out and execute the plan that we had, which turned out to be not only the right plan, but an excellent plan.
By the time I finished my stories and interviews, it was night and it was raining and there was fog. And the scoreboard, they left the scoreboard on and it was shrouded in fog. So when I got home, my dad said, all of the TV stations were live from Baylor Stadium still. I said, what are they doing? He said, well, the fans are driving around the stadium in circles so they can see the scoreboard. And Abner McCall and Herbert Reynolds, the president and vice president, are going to spend the night in the press box with their families. That's what a big deal it was. They'll still never heard anything like that. So we're watching it. I'm guessing by then it's about 8 o'clock. And my dad had grown up a Baylor fan back in the 30s and 40s and told me so many stories about the Southwest Conference. So he goes, do you think we can go over and ride around the stadium one time? I said, sure. So he packs up my mom and my brother. They're in the back seat. My dad's in the front. I go out there and get in line. Finally, we get in the line to circle the stadium. So your traffic is just bumper to bumper, and they're coming in all directions trying to get in. And after we go around once, he said, you think we'd do it again? And I said, sure. So I went around that damn Baylor Stadium until I heard my dad snoring. And then I knew it was time I could go home. And I bet we stayed out there 2 or 3 hours circling the stadium, looking up at the scoreboard.
Changed everything. It changed the conference. It changed the state of Texas. It changed the mentality of high school coaches and players all across the state of Texas and elsewhere as well. And it brought true hope, I believe, to the private schools, of which in the conference, you know, we had Rice, we had SMU along with Baylor as private schools.
Over the years, the comeback victory, and occasionally the entire 1974 Baylor season, has been referred to as the miracle on the Brazos. Although Coach Taft appreciates fans and media honoring the victory and that great year, he describes his perspective on the term.
You know, it's been referred to, you know, a miracle on the Brazos. And I really am not much appreciative of that phrase, because it wasn't a miracle. We planned to win, we executed the plan, and we won.
Not only did Baylor beat Texas that day, SMU beat Texas A&M. And as Baylor took a step towards their Cotton Bowl dreams, their dreams took one step towards the Bears. Beating Texas was a high-level goal that Baylor accomplished. Another difficult test loomed over the horizon, however, as the 20th-ranked Texas Tech Red Raiders saddled up to take on the Bears. Coach Taft discussed how the team stayed focused after their huge win and pointed out that the season and commitment was a team effort.
That was an issue that we had to deal with because, first of all, you know, it's just human nature. When you achieve a goal of that level and all the accolades and the praise that comes the way of the individuals and the team itself, you got to keep grounded. And I think the tribute goes to our leadership. We had a young man that was extraordinary named Neil Jeffrey. He was such a tremendous leader and such a tremendous person that, you know, what he said, so to speak, goes. And he just was such a great leader during that time, as was many others on that team. Philip Kent, I remember him being such a strong leader, and Steve Beard, and Ricky Thompson, who's a local banker here, was a great part of that turnaround, because Ricky never had any doubt, at least it appeared to me he didn't, that we were going to beat Texas. And old Darrell Luce was such a constant player and very intense. Kenny Quisenberry and Tom Turnipseed. When you start mentioning names, you sure don't want to leave people out, like old Wharton Foster, who was one of our great linemen, and Joe Johnson, John Oliver, Donnie Bockhorn, Darrell Luce, Ron Burns, all that bunch were quite great players, as was Kenny Quisenberry and Scooter Reed. That's not a nationally recognized name, but I tell you, he played to have many people only look at the top two or three stars and remember what they did. But this was a total team effort. And the great thing about it, the team itself recognized that it was a team effort.
Baylor rallied for 10 points in the fourth quarter to beat Texas Tech 17-10. Another comeback win over a ranked team. After the game, defensive back Ken Quisenberry spoke about the Bears' belief that they could win any game at any time.
Well, we feel like we've kind of been playing on emotion all year. People don't think we can do it. Week after week, they keep saying, well, they're going to run out of emotion pretty soon, but it didn't seem like that way. It didn't seem that way at all, because we believe in each other, and we believe in ourselves, and we believe in what we're doing. And we go out there every Saturday, and we believe that we can win, and we just go out there and do it.
Two games remained on the Bears Southwest Conference schedule, at SMU and home against Rice. Baylor had to win both to have any chance at their first ever Cotton Bowl appearance. The Bears also needed Texas to defeat Texas A&M. Baylor traveled to SMU on November 23rd as Texas A&M enjoyed a bye week. Thousands of Baylor fans made the journey. The fired up Bears kept emotions high as their All-American center, Aubrey Schultz, stymied SMU All-American defensive tackle Louis Kelcher. Baylor linebacker Don Bockhorn kicked a 59-yard field goal to give Baylor a 17-7 third quarter lead over a tough Mustang team that entered the game 6-3-1. Bockhorn's 59-yard kick set a Baylor school record, besting the previous record by 7 yards. After the game, Bockhorn noted that it was his first field goal attempt of the entire season.
That was great, I tell you. All year we've had it set up to where Bubba Hicks kicks the field goals when the yard of scrimmage is, line of scrimmage is from the 30 in, and anything longer than that I kick. And so far this year, it just hadn't arisen for a chance to kick anything long like that. That's my first attempt of the year, and then of course my first field goal of the year.
The Bears took care of business and topped SMU 31-14, for the team's fourth straight win. That left only one game left on Baylor's Southwest Conference schedule, at home against Rice on November 30th. Coach Taft spoke about the team's goals leading up to the Rice game in this clip from 1974.
We readjusted our goals 2 weeks ago, and we said that we want to win our next two ball games, which would give us an 8-3 season, and it would also give us a minimum of a share of the crown of the Southwest Conference, and that's the first time in 50 years, and that's what we're shooting for. If it happens that we're going to the Cotton Bowl, then hallelujah, but other than that, we're just going to play Saturday and get it on with Rice.
The day before Rice and Baylor got it on in Waco, Texas and Texas A&M got it on in Austin. Texas won 32-3, paving the way for the Bears. Baylor took care of their end and defeated Rice 24-3 on a record-setting day. Baylor won their first Southwest Conference title in 50 years. The Bears earned their first ever Cotton Bowl appearance, and running back Steve Beard became the first ever 1,000-yard rusher in Baylor history. He finished the season with over 1,100 yards after it was all said and done. Coach Taft noted that several factors led to the tremendous accomplishments of the 1974 Baylor Bears.
There are several factors that the general public wouldn't know or recognize that goes into something like that. That group had played together. They were what we would refer to as being cemented into our philosophy and our belief about defense. And, you know, none of them were what you would say really true great all-star players coming out of high school. But they were all great young men. And they had some talent, obviously. And they worked extremely hard. And here's the thing that it sort of became a cliche because I wrote a book about it called I Believe. But the power of belief that a human being can generate, the power that it gives them is extraordinary. And it's almost magical when you think about it. But if you believe, it's times when you're not going to be successful and you believed you could be. But this was a time that I guess what made it so important was that they believed that they could do it, and then they did it. And so that meshed it all together.
Baylor played Penn State in the Cotton Bowl on New Year's Day, 1975. Although Baylor lost 41-20, the journey of getting to Baylor's first ever Cotton Bowl was unforgettable for those who experienced it.
It was a goal that we had set. And at the time we set it, I'm sure people that looked at it from where we were coming, what our past history had been, and even what we had been the year before. But to set your goal to play in the Cotton Bowl. Green and gold in the Cotton Bowl. That was the yell, and that was the reminder to everybody that that's where we want to go. And there was a billboard here in town that was so cool that somebody had put up that talked about going on the road to play, and it said, "The last one out of town, turn out the lights."
Coach Taft summed up the season this way in 1974 at Baylor's annual football banquet.
I've been coaching for a long time, and I've had a lot of coaching thrills and a lot of joys as a coach. And I've had some good teams, some fine football teams. And I've been associated with some great coaching staffs. But I believe that the 1974 Fighting Baylor squad, not just those 55 or 60 that suited up for the ball game, but our entire squad and our coaching staff, their results, the results of their season certainly is obvious, but is one very close, intimately close to this group and this organization, I can frankly say to you, and I've told them this personally, I've never been around a group more dedicated. I've never been around a group that wanted something any more in an unselfish manner than this group. And I've never been around a greater football team. I know it's going to be a little bit difficult to stand, but I can't go through and introduce each one of them to you individually, but I do want, in just a moment, for the entire coaching staff and all of the squad, and this includes our trainers and our doctors and everyone that's really associated with putting that team on the football field out there and then the involvement. I want them to stand for just a few moments, and I want you to see them, and I want you, while seated, to recognize them in the way that I know you want to recognize them. Would you please stand? 1974 Southwest Conference Champions.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Texas Sports Hall of Fame podcast, presented by the Hampton in Waco. We invite you to visit the Texas Sports Hall of Fame. And when you do, book your stay at the Hampton in Waco.